From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The Senate is poised to complete passage of a bill restoring emergency unemployment benefits to millions of Americans who've been out of work for more than 6 months. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the long-term jobless are in dire straits.
They can't make their house payments, their car payments, having trouble supporting their families.
Democrats advanced the measure by mustering the votes to halt a Republican filibuster. GOP Senator Lamar Alexander says Republicans oppose the bill for one reason.
Democrats want to extend unemployment compensation benefits in a way that adds to the federal debt.
But in Northbrook, Illinois, Julie Matula says she has debts of her own to worry about, and she says she desperately needs the emergency jobless benefits.
I lost my house. Was pretty close to losing my car as well. Very, very heavy in debt and was having problems putting food on the table.
Matula says she's been looking for work for 2 years now. She's among those whose unemployment benefits have run out. President Obama signs financial overhaul legislation today.
We're determined to make sure the financial catastrophe that we are emerging from never happens again.
Mr. Obama says the sweeping changes in financial regulations are the toughest reforms since the aftermath of the Great Depression. Senate leaders say they still do not have the votes to move an energy bill forward with controls on heat-trapping carbon emissions. The legislation is stalled even as the International Energy Agency says China is now the world's number one energy consumer. NPR's Paul Brown joins us now. Paul, what's happening on the energy issue this week?
Well, as you mentioned, Craig, the International Energy Agency says China is the world's number one energy consumer and that it's using twice the energy it was 10 years ago. China disputes that, by the way. I spoke with Elliot Dieringer of the Pew Center on Global Climate Change, and he says China's energy consumption is no longer increasing solely through industrialization.
Increasingly, it's being driven by the emergence of a large middle class that aspires to the same comforts and conveniences we enjoy here in the developed world.
So, Paul, how can the U.S. and China tackle this issue together?
Well, the IEA's chief economist, Fatih Birol, tells me that some sort of U.S. action is essential to lead the rest of the world, including China, away from what he calls a possible climate change catastrophe.
Chinese tell us that if U.S. doesn't move, why should we bother?
And Birol says that one problem is that China uses a lot of dirty coal-burning power plants even as it pursues cleaner forms of energy.
So what's happening with the legislation here in the U.S.?
Well, after some meetings this week, it appears there are not enough Senate Republican votes to move a bill forward that contains even a compromise cap on carbon emissions for utilities only rather than all industries. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid plans a meeting with Democrats tomorrow to try to find a way forward.
Thanks. NPR's Paul Brown. This is NPR News from Washington. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the U.S. is imposing new sanctions on North Korea to make it harder for that country to finance its nuclear program. She says she hopes North Korean leaders change course.
We continue to send a message to the North. There is another way. There is a way that can benefit the people of the North.
Clinton speaking at a news conference in South Korea today, along with Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Clinton and Gates climbed up to an observation post in the demilitarized zone between the two countries and were able to look into North Korea. Afterward, Clinton says she realized as she stood there that North and South Korea are worlds apart from each other. Syria is forbidding the country's female students and teachers from wearing the full Islamic veil that shows only a woman's eyes. NPR's Deborah Amos reports government officials say the move is aimed at protecting Syria's secular identity.
Hundreds of veiled teachers have been forced out of the classroom and into jobs where they have no contact with students. Syria is the first Arab country to enforce such a widespread ban, which has been criticized in Gulf Arab newspapers. The Syrian decree comes at a time of fierce debate in Europe. Parliaments there are also considering a ban on the head-to-toe covering. Some human rights groups charge it's discrimination against Muslims. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Damascus.
The federal official heading the government's response to the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, Admiral Thad Allen, says only some minor seepage is being detected around the well.
Not unlike an oil leak you might have in your car, very small drips, I would say. We don't consider them consequential.
So Allen says the cap on the well will be closed for at least another 24 hours and maybe longer. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.